Hey everyone, and today I am bringing you such an amazing show. I think that you're all going to be literally on the edge of your seat until the very end when you're like, no, don't let this be over. Because we're talking about, a very well-known phrase that talks about, thrive, survive, all of that. But when you start to think about, like, how do you actually do it? And there's also another little phrase called don't sweat the small stuff. And that too is one of those, like, how the heck do you do that? Like, we're all starting to dive into that. But today I have Christine Carlson with me, and she is don't sweat the small stuff. This is like what she is known for about all of the different things. She developed this with her husband. She is a survivor, a widow, a mother, grandmother, wife, best-selling author, and so many more things that she is working on that she is passionate about. But we've all heard about the book series. We've all heard about, the phrases, but how do we live a life that we really can lean into, not sweating the small stuff? You're listening to the Relaunch Podcast, and I'm your host, Hillary DeCesar, best-selling author, speaker, and transformational coach, widely recognized in the worlds of neuropsychology and business launches, which cultivated the one and only 3HQ method, helping midlife women, yep, that's me too, rebuild a life of purpose, possibility, and inspiring business ventures. Each week, we'll be diving into the stories that brought upon the most inspirational relaunches while sharing the methods and the secrets that they learned along the way so that you too can have not just an ordinary relaunch, but an extraordinary relaunch. Christine, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Hillary. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, so I always like to really talk about, full circle, what brings you to where you are with a, significant relaunch. I know your story. For those that don't, can you share your journey along this path of where you've come from, of the book journey, and now where you are today?
Yeah, so most of you who are listening are probably aware, at least, maybe you have somebody that has had the book Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, or you have read the book Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, either recently or years and years and years ago. The book is about 25 years out now. So we just had our 25th anniversary.
Which is
So
so crazy, by the way.
I know, isn't that?
25.
That's so crazy.
That was shocking right there, because I'm like, has it been that long? Okay, but good, 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 good. You know,
It
it is a solid bestseller that never goes out of fashion.
Yeah, I mean, ironically, it's something that's always relevant because every 10 years there's a new group of people that are stressed out about life. Their responsibilities grow. Maybe they're in their 30s and suddenly they have a mortgage. They have maybe a kid or two on the way. And they're finding that they're sweating the small stuff and they're having anxiety and all sorts of things. And I think people just realize they want to live better. They want to be happier and they want to live better. And so backing up, sharing a little bit about my story, my late husband, Dr. Richard Carlson, was the author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. He is the author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And he wrote that book when he was 35 years old. And I was just 32 years old when that book came out. Now, that was his 10th book. He had a master's and PhD in psychology. And at the time, he didn't believe in traditional therapy. So he was practicing and teaching what he called happiness training. And that was like prior to coaching. There really wasn't coaches. Coaching was just starting a whole trend at that point. So he had, been coaching people about happiness and how to become happier people. And Don't Sweat the Small Stuff was his 10th book. He'd written a bunch of books in psychology, but he was looking for a format that would really resonate with our society that was growing in technology 25 years ago. And, you know, we realized that people were getting, had less of an attention span, and they needed things in short bite-sized increments. And so he came up with this small chapter format and applied it to Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And, you know, it was just a crazy time because it was like overnight, he went from being not a struggling author, but doing a lot of wearing a lot of different hats to make a decent living as an entrepreneur, to becoming this just massive hit, a best-selling author. Just, it almost seemed like he came out of nowhere, but he'd been at it for 10 years.
I didn't actually know it was 10 years, like 10 books in. I didn't know that.
10 books. He's a whole body of work that comes prior to Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Books called You Can Be Happy No Matter What, You Can Feel Good Again, Shortcut Through Therapy. You know, like there's, if you want to know more about the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff philosophy, you have to go to those early books, because those really are the nuts and bolts of the philosophy that led to how do you live this Don't Sweat the Small Stuff practice.
Really interesting.
Philosophy. Yeah. How do you practice it?
So, but all of a sudden, he's like becoming a phenom, and Oprah, and yeah, a bunch of other interviews I was watching, and there you are. And then you guys are talking about, you know, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, relationship, love, and you know, it was really fun to watch those, actually, because, you know, hearing you guys banter back and forth. But
yeah, we had fun.
Things don't really change in relationships, really.
No, they don't. There is a consistency to what makes a really wonderful relationship. And I think Don't Sweat the Small Stuff in Love really nails that. It really nails down how do you look at your partner and keep that loving, deep connection and passion alive for the long haul, you know? And the way you do that is, you know, it's a lot of small things that you have to look at and pay attention to or not pay attention to, as the case may be.
Totally. We're going to get into that, but I'm going to take you back again to
the story,
where you came from. Cause it's
So we have this amazing relationship that we met in college and really birthed our lives together, and, you know, got married pretty young. I was only like 22. He was 25. We had our two daughters, and we're just living our lives. And 10 years into Don't Sweat the Small Stuff as a bestseller that never really did, it was always selling well. 10 years in, Richard got on a flight and he was promoting his latest book, which was out of the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff series, a different book. And on the descent of that flight at 45 years old, he had a pulmonary embolism, which took his life. And, you know, it was just like one of those crazy, crazy things. You know, how do you know this man is this vibrant, living human being who loves his life one moment, and then he's just simply gone in a moment? Like that's what it was like. You know, I was just living a normal day and driving, pulled into a mall parking space and got a phone call from a nurse and a doctor in New York that had him at the hospital with him. And they just, you know, it was just incredible news. You know, it was just, how do you wrap your head around the fact that, you know, the night before you said goodbye and good night, and then the next morning you wake up and your husband's gone. You know, it was just an incredible shock. Really,
I can't, I, you know, recently I've lost my mom. I've lost my dad recently, and I can't, you know, I had time, you know, I had a year with my mom, which doesn't seem like a lot of time now, but, you know, and I also had some time with my dad, but you literally had no time. I mean, as you said, when I was watching your TED talk, you said you missed the call by 5 minutes as he was taking off.
Yeah. He called that morning and I woke up 5 minutes late. And in some ways, I feel like that was divine protection, you know, because I just don't think I could have wrapped my head around it at all if I had just talked to him. Like, I think I would have just been like, I just don't think I could have wrapped my head around it. And yeah, so that began really, you know, it's been 16 years, so I can speak about it without crying. And, you know, I mean, I've lived almost a full life now. You know, almost as much time. Well, I was with Richard 25 years, but I've lived a long time without him now in my day-to-day life. Although I have to say there's not a day that doesn't go by where I don't think about him, dream about him, you know, love him still. And that's what love is. You know, you don't grieve forever. You don't, you know, you relaunch, as your show is so aptly named. You relaunch and you step into life because life is meant to be stepped into. It's not meant to be grieved forever. You know, your losses are things you go through, and hopefully we become better people because we've gone through the losses that we do. That's my hope for everyone. That certainly happened in my case. I believe that.
Christine, yeah. Let me ask you a question here though. You've written, you know, you participated and you had these major conversations with your husband over coffee every morning. And that became a lot of the base of the foundation of the books. And now you have these books and it really is about embracing life for what it is. And you are, you know, you're part of this world of don't sweat the small stuff, all the different, you know, series and everything that comes with that. And yet you are going through your own heavy crisis, heavy, like, how did you, taking us back to that time? And I know that right now my stepmom's having a terrible time with dealing with my dad's passing after being with him for 48 years. And they were, you know, inseparable. How did you handle that? Because I know that you've said he was your soulmate, he was the love of your life. He, you know, even after knowing 25 years, you guys still were very much youthful lovers, and you know, it was still such a solid relationship. How do you say what you went through? How did you do it? And what do you say to people that are going through such massive losses right now themselves?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that I was really blessed by having a lot of life tools, you know, a lot of personal growth work myself. You know, just, I was really, really blessed. If there was a woman who was somehow prepared to endure a cataclysmic loss, it was probably me. Now, that said, it didn't hurt any less for me than it hurts for anybody. It was truly an annihilation of my life on the spiritual level, being married to Richard. You know, your ego just goes through a complete annihilation when you go through a huge loss of any kind. And when you're very identified with a partnership like I was, it was a huge loss. And initially, I realized that I could see myself doing this in two ways. And I really understood right away that this was a cataclysmic loss. I understood that I could pull the covers over my head and just drown in sorrow. And yet I had two daughters in high school. I had to get up every day to help them through this loss because it was severely disruptive to their lives, and just a huge thing for two teenage girls to go through unprepared at all. I mean, one day they're, you know, concerned with what designer jeans are they going to wear to school, you know, and the next day, you know, their dad is just gone. And so it was a lot, but my kids gave me the inspiration to, and the strength to get up every day. And that was kind of initially my goal, was just, I just need to get up every day, put my feet on the ground and move. And I need to take care of them and make sure that they have everything they need to get through this. And then when they would go to school, I just knew that I needed to grieve. I needed to really grieve and let that grief come through, and whenever it was ready to come through. So I just really immediately surrendered to the process of grief, not even knowing how to grieve, but realizing that I just started also becoming the witness of my own grief, which, I mean, I think that a very highly developed human who has done the kind of work that I've done around her thinking and understanding thought and understanding how our thoughts create our reality. I really understood this at a very young age because of what we studied together, what Richard and I studied together. And I was a meditator, you know, I did all this inner work. Because of that, I could see myself grieving too. I could witness myself grieving. And
you said something interesting that I really resonated with me, is that not knowing how to grieve.
Yeah.
When I lost my mom to cancer, I remember just sitting there like, I don't even know what to do. Yes, we had had losses in the family, but our family was very much a kind of push it aside, get over it, move on. We're still here. They're gone. And so I had a tough time knowing how to grieve. How do you recommend for those of us that were like you? You had the tools, you had been studying this, but how do people that are going through grief, which these days so many people are going through such terrible, hard times, how do you suggest they even start to take that first step?
Well, I had no idea how to do it when I was in it. I know how to do it now because I've been through it. And I think almost everyone in the world becomes a grief expert after they've been through it. But, you know, you can't really
Unfortunately,
tell,
isn't it true?
It's true, yeah. You can't really tell each person how they're going to grieve or how long it's going to take. But the thing that really helped me was a mantra that I teach, which is, it began with surrender, trust, and accept. And I only knew that mantra because Richard and I had talked about it and laughed about it in traffic and in all sorts of different ways about how we need to surrender, trust, and accept. And so it just came back to me like a path to follow. And so I really just surrendered to grief in the way of allowing my body to teach me, listening to my body, knowing that if I got a stomach ache, I started to realize if I wasn't crying enough or if I was suppressing, my body would scream at me that I needed to just sit on the floor and maybe even lie on the floor and let my body shake it out, just let the grief out. And that became my path, and my path was surrender. So when my kids would go to school, I would just sit presently and just ask myself, you know, how am I feeling, and let myself be in it.
We're going to continue this when we come back from this short break. I am with Christine Carlson. We're going to talk more about this whole concept of surrender, trust, accept, how your body can actually give you indications that something's going wrong. So we'll come right back to that. This episode is brought to you by my very own labor of love, my most recent book, Relaunch. This book is a collection of my stories, other stories, and is a motivational guide to living a new 3HQ lifestyle, sparking your heart to ignite your life. It's available for purchase via Amazon. Get ready to try on the 3HQ method that I've been using for years throughout my entire life, reaching the next level in all areas, both professionally and personally. Get your copy today at www.therelaunchbook.com. Hey everyone, welcome back. I am here with Christine Carlson. You may know her from the hit series, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. We have just talked about her massive loss when her husband takes off on a flight from San Francisco to New York. And on that plane, he has a pulmonary, it's like a heart attack, right?
An embolism. It's like a blood clot. Yeah.
An embolism and passes on And she gets that call, and here she has been, you know, on this massive high with this man that she has been with for 25 years. They have two kids, a 14-year-old, 17-year-old at the time. And all of a sudden, life is just shut down. And we are talking now about this concept of surrender. Surrender. And so many people, like, we hear it and it's like, I get it, but how do you do it? So I'd love to kind of dig a little bit more into that, Christine, and talk about easier said than done, right?
Yeah, it is. But as a survival strategy, I mean, let's face it, you know, you're in a situation if you need to surrender where you're really surviving. So what I found was that when I would surrender and I would allow grief to come, what it would also come would be just an incredible amount of grace. Grace meaning just this incredible feeling of presence and love and feeling held, feeling very held through this experience. When I wouldn't surrender, what I got was a stomach ache. So, you know, we're talking about how our body doesn't lie to us. Our body tells us the truth. And when we're suppressing emotions, our body screams at us. You know, you can have a stomach ache, your digestion can be a mess, your sleep is disrupted. You know, when you're not allowing for grief, your body will hold that emotion and it hurts. It'll hurt you because your body is saying, you need to get this out. You need to let this go. This grief, this has come. You need to let it out and empty it out. And the best way to do that is just to allow yourself to cry. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can resist grief by becoming overly busy. Our culture will tell us, oh, just get really busy. Just don't think about it. But the thing is, grief is a natural emotional response to loss. Grief is not going anywhere until you deal with it. It's not going.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, right?
You know, we all think, I talk about closing doors on things, just put it behind the door. But I mean, my God, it somehow slips under, it slips everywhere. And I like what you said, because, you know, we talk mind, body, spirit, and most of the time it's all about the mind, you know, it's that, but we don't realize what you just said with your sleeping patterns and with other things. Those are all part of the body. These are all things that will show itself, and we don't look at them as signs. We don't look at them. We just kind of like avoid it. Like, okay, yeah, I've got, my stomach's hurting. Or I've got this thing in my neck. That's like kind of my thing is up there, that left-hand side. It somehow tells me, like, screamingly, like, Hillary, you got to deal with this now.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. We live in a body. So we're grieving because we live in a body, you know, so the body is a great tool in that way. And if you are in grief, you'll notice that, you know, you'll get these cues from your body. And then what happens is, when you allow yourself to cry or you allow yourself to feel your feelings, usually that pain or that feeling of tension will go away and it will be replaced.
How great is a good cry?
Exactly. It's the best youth elixir there is.
It really is. It's like, when I don't cry for, like, you know, if I haven't cried, especially recently with everything going on in my life, if I haven't cried in a week, I feel the pressure.
Yeah.
I'm like a pressure cooker. And then I let it go. I'm like, oh, it's so nice. Such a great feeling.
Brings that feeling of peace into your, you know, body.
It really does. Now, your husband, Richard, had a quote, "The harder you look for what's going to bring meaning in your life, the less likely we're going to find it." And especially in today's world where so many of us are searching for the, you know, purpose of what we're supposed to be doing. And you had a very interesting TED talk that you did that you talked a lot about, you know, the two things that you say when you're looking at life. What does it mean to live in spirit? And then what does it mean to wake up to an inspired life? Can we talk about that in the sense of hopefully people will hear this and have a little bit of like just that takeaway that they can think about doing.
Yeah. So what I find so interesting about the word inspired is it literally means to be attuned to spirit. And again, you know, we live in this body and we have this minds, but our minds, when they open, we're very open, we can be our most creative selves as we listen to our inspiration. And I talk about all the things in my TED talk that you can do to really help yourself become that more inspired person. And, you know, it really starts out very simply. You know, it starts out by creating your own ritual in the morning. Really waking up to an inspired life means you start very peaceful. You are in charge of how you start your day. How you start your day is how you live your day. That's one of my favorite Don't Sweat the Small Stuff chapters, you know? And so a lot of people like might get out of bed right away and start looking at their emails. I mean, if your listeners are listening, I'm sure there's a bunch of them that are nodding their head. Oh yeah, that's me. Get out and look at their phone. Who's contacted me? What's going on? Well, the brain science now says that's the last thing you should do. Like you really need to wait about a half an hour, 15 minutes at least, before you ever look at your phone. And, you know, start out peacefully, you know, create your own ritual. Like I get up and I do my gratitudes just naturally now. It's not even something I even have to think about. I just wake up and I start to think about what am I really grateful for today? Gratitude is a natural elixir of joy in the heart. It's like how the heart feels joy is through gratitude. So it's a great way to start your day. You know, if you're in a relationship, think of the three things that you're grateful for about your partner. I mean, how often throughout the day are you going to be thinking of how grateful you are about your partner if you start your day that way? It's how we operate as humans, you know, and then you might, you know, meditate or do yoga or turn on some really beautiful spa music, read some inspirational writing. You create it, you do it the way you want, but don't jump out of bed at your alarm clock, you know, like get up 15 minutes earlier if you have to before your kids wake up. We always used to. I mean, we had a busy, busy life, but Richard and I used to get up really early so we'd have time together as a couple. We'd have time really to strategize about our kids, how we were going to parent
them. I love you said that you loved, you know, you love the coffee and you still do. But when you said, you know, how to start your day is how you live your life,
how you live your day.
And as you mentioned, you know, too many people immediately jump on their phones and it sends them into that, you know, as research has shown, you get, you know, the stress, cortisol, fight or flight, like, how am I going to respond? And it literally does set you off on the wrong path.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, a lot of people live on adrenaline and that's why they're called adrenaline junkies, you know, because they live on that. But I mean, it's not the healthiest way to live over the long haul. You know, it's better to live with a sense of peace and contentment. And then you also tend to make better decisions when you're coming from a place of calm, groundedness, and centeredness versus a hyper reactive mode. And you become more responsive to life when you become more mindful, when you wake up with the intention of creating more peace in your life. And then you put your attention where you want to put your attention. It's not like you're scrambling. You're not putting out fires necessarily. You know, some people might say, well, I wouldn't be as effective, but I would venture to say you'd be way more effective because you're going to focus on what matters to you and be less distracted by what doesn't. And these are the kinds of things that you'll find highly successful people do. You know, they become very aware of where their attention should be and where they want it to be versus letting life grab them and, you know, not have the sense of navigation, but not letting your life navigate you. You're the one that's navigating your life.
And also when you get up in the morning and you can set the bar of where you want your energy to be, it's, you know, instead of being in that low stress, got to get back to this person, or I can't believe I just got that email, or, you know, that text just came through, And you can look at it from the perspective of giving yourself that time to reflect, to say, you know, this is where I am right now. This is how I'm feeling. This is what my day looks like. This is what my clients, my prospects need to hear from me. Just having that moment, it really does set your day in the right direction. Instead of, you know, I know that when I, you know, I try to get up earlier than I ever need to, so that I do have my same ritual every single morning, because I really do enjoy my quiet time. I enjoy my time with my husband, and, you know, I drink my tea, he drinks his coffee. We talk about some of the main events that are going on, not only in the world, but in our life, as you said, with the kids. And there's something really special, not just from a, you know, with another person, but within myself. I'm giving myself the gift. And you talk about practice. It does take practice, right?
It really does. I mean, everything is a practice. If we really look at that, we are creatures of habit. Well, that's good news and bad news. The bad news about being a creature of habit is that much of that is unconscious. The good news is that once you make those habits conscious and you become aware of them, then you can make changes. And that's where the practice comes in. And it's not about perfection. It's about practice. So, you know, you're not going to change a habit that you've had for years and years and years in 1 hour or one day. You have to practice a new way of doing things. But it's interesting because one small shift has a domino effect on everything in your life. And it's like dominoes. If you pull one out and they all go, you know, they all start to just go in a whole new formation, because that's what happens to us too as humans. We will take something out that maybe is not the best habit that we've identified, and we replace it with something that's better. Well, it changes everything. And it changes the energy of everything. And it's powerful. It's powerful to be able to do that. And it's so cool because we can do it at any age. You know, they used to think that you were just the way you were. And now with the whole concept of neuroplasticity, we are not the way we are forever. At any age, you can change your brain and you can change your life that way by practicing something new. Disrupt the pattern. What fires together, wires together. Disrupt the pattern and you'll be on a whole new trajectory. And that's the beautiful thing about shifting our energy, shifting our patterns, shifting and practicing.
And we talk a lot about this when I discuss 3HQ, which, for those that don't know, it's the head, the heart, the higher self, and getting out of your head, getting out of those thoughts, getting out of those habits, because we all know that, you know, your subconscious doesn't know the difference between a good habit and a bad habit, but that, you know, through neuroplasticity, you can change, you can. And I love that, you know, for those that are thinking right now, yeah, my morning habit, my morning routine is not probably serving me, then this is your opportunity that you can, even starting tomorrow, just take, you know, that extra 5 minutes before you jump out of bed and start your day to really reflect on what Christine is saying. And I think it is so massively important. But you did mention something that I have to touch on, and this goes to the 3HQ, that when we are tapping into our higher self and that best version of us and being able to, you know, really feel like you're, you know, inspired by not just, you know, what's going on in your life, but you have that, you know, that divine connection. Can you share with us, you know, I know that there was something very symbolic with your husband that you had happen with this whole connection of something bigger than you. Can you share with us?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had amazing things happen since Richard passed that have shown me that we have this truly divine connection, that we are divinely held, that we are divinely guided. And the first thing I'll say about that is that I feel very much in tune with Richard. I've always felt him from the day he passed. He's just, I feel he's right around me. He's always around me, guiding me, cheering me on, you know, just, I don't ever feel very much alone actually, because I feel his presence so strongly. So in that way, I've learned how to open my heart, open my mind, open my spirit to that connection. And I do feel that it's very easy with the ones that we love the most, because that love connection is such a heart connection, and it doesn't die with the body. It just stays, and it lives on, and it transcends. It transcends time and space and everything. The other thing, I mean, I love this story because it's such a great story about the divine, and about when you become very present, which is something that we've talked about for, you know, 30 years in the Don't Sweat the Small Stuff books, and before that, about present moment living. That means that being very in alignment and attuned to what you're feeling in the moment, to not having that busy, distracted mind, but being very engaged in the moment, the present moment. Then a lot of miracles happen. People call it kismet, synchronicity. I think mostly what's happening is you've just gotten really present to notice these things. And most people aren't very present enough to notice them, but they're happening all the time. So the sense of presence.
That's such a great point. People are too busy being busy that they don't notice. It's actually right there. If you just stop right here. And pause for a second, you'll notice it too.
It's right here. And so my daughters and I were flying back from my parents' 50th wedding anniversary. This was just a couple years after Richard died. And we were flying on a commuter plane from Eugene, Oregon to San Francisco, a very small plane, 50 people on the plane. And I walked up to the ticket agent, and the ticket agent said to me, "Oh, you ladies aren't seated together. Would you like to be seated together?" And I said, "Oh, no, it's okay. You know, it's a short flight." Well, he took it upon himself to rearrange our seats on the flight. We sat down, and the girls were in the window and aisle next to me, and the window seat was open next to me. And so a man walked up, and he stood before us. Well, the girls let out this giggle, and I thought that was really weird, but I had this really odd feeling come over me, super odd, like a chill. And he sat down, and I felt like I really needed to talk to this guy, like really needed to, like it wasn't even a question. But he pulled his laptop out and he started working. So I waited till the descent of the flight when he put his laptop away, and I started a conversation with him. And I asked him if it was a work day, and he said, "Yeah. What about you? I noticed you have your computer with you." And I said, "Well, yeah, technically every day is a work day. I'm a writer. So I, you know, kind of just take my computer everywhere I go." And he said, "Well, have you been published? Is there anything that I would know?" And I turned to him and I said, "Well, yeah, but you might be most familiar with my late husband's work. He wrote Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, Richard Carlson." And the man got very visibly almost like upset looking, like, and I said, "What? Did you know him?" And he said, "No." And I was like, "What?" Like, he really looked upset. And he said, "Well, did he die in a flight to JFK a little over 2 years ago?" And I said, "He did. How did you know it was JFK?" And he said, "Well, I was seated directly behind him on that flight." He said, "I was the first to assist in lifting his body out of the seat. I helped the crew." And I just sat there and I just go, "Oh my God," I burst into tears. And I said, "Oh my God, what are the chances of this meeting?" And he said, "There are no chances of this meeting." And so I don't believe in coincidence, you know, and I do believe that we are divinely guided. And it's that level of high level of presence. It's that knowing and listening to those deep intuitive feelings that I, you know, I knew I needed to talk to this guy. The flight guy, the counter guy knew we needed to sit together. I mean, he listened to his divine self. That would have never happened had he not rearranged our seats on that flight. So
that is incredible. Unfortunately, we have to take a quick break. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about this, but then I also, you've come out with a lifetime show around a lifetime movie around your life. And I want to touch on that and what brought you to the decision to do that. And then key takeaways from the book series. So we'll be back shortly. This episode is brought to you by my very own labor of love, my most recent book, Relaunch. This book is a collection of my stories, other stories, and is a motivational guide to living a new 3HQ lifestyle, sparking your heart to ignite your life. It's available for purchase via Amazon. Get ready to try on the 3HQ method that I've been using for years throughout my entire life, reaching the next level in all areas, both professionally and personally. Get your copy today at www.therelaunchbook.com. Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm here with Christine Carlson. We are hearing an absolutely incredible story about intuition, about sometimes other people have intuitive hits that they need to make things happen. That happened with Christine on a flight after her husband had died from a pulmonary embolism, which I have found out a little bit more about, which is basically the blood clot goes up and it took his life suddenly on the plane. And this gentleman that was miraculously seated next to Christine on the plane ends up, they talk at the very end of the flight, right? And next thing you know, he's sharing that he sat behind her husband when it all happened. Christine, that is really true. You said no such thing as a coincidence. What was it about? What was it about hearing what he went through that you absolutely needed to hear?
Well, I needed to know that there was somebody that was on that flight with my husband, because I wasn't there. And I didn't get any information from the airline, nothing. So it was just such a blessing. It was a deep blessing. And it really propelled my healing forward at that point. It really just gave me a lot of peace.
Yeah. Wow. So just recently, actually, a Lifetime movie came out and you decided it was time. What made you decide that this was the right time to share your story?
You know, I was just really blessed with a producer that loved Richard, loved his work, was really impacted by his work 25 years ago. And she always wanted to do something with Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and worked all those years, sold it 3 different times when big networks didn't develop it. And finally, Lifetime came around because one of the head of programming at Lifetime, she knew about Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And she asked Maura if it was available. And she said, yeah. And then they started to talk about, well, what would be the best story for Don't Sweat the Small Stuff? And they decided that my story was the story to tell because of the time of where everybody's at too. Like, we're really a grief stricken world right now, with all of the COVID stuff and just everything that's going on. They just felt like this is the right time to tell this story. And so Heather Locklear played me, which was such a really, I mean, what an honor, you know, that she hadn't done anything in TV for several years. And she really loved this story so much that she came out of she wasn't retired, but just kind of came out of taking a leave to play me in this Lifetime movie. And yeah,
she's the perfect person, by the way, because you guys are both beautiful. And aww. Yeah, I mean, that is awesome. That is so great. And do you feel like they did a good job?
I think they did a really good job. You know, I think they did a good job of showing the messiness for widows and families that are going through loss. I think they did a really good job. I mean, of course, some of the things I would wrinkle my nose at, like, oh, you know, or some of the things, like, people asked me that watched it, they said, how was that watching it? And I said, what was a lot easier watching it than it was living it. So, you know, I grieved a lot deeper than what they show, because of course it's a movie. So I grieved much harder and deeper than what they showed, but I think they did a great job. And I love Heather. She did a great job. I think it's an inspiring movie.
That's awesome. So everyone out there, go, you know, we all are looking for movies to watch. So check out that one, okay? Don't Sweat the Small Stuff on the Lifetime series. Okay, so here's the thing. I would love to ask you, all of these incredible books, and how many books are in the series of Don't Sweat?
There's nine books. Nine.
What are your biggest takeaways that for those that, yeah, we read it, I read it, and I'm reading it again right now. I told you that earlier when we were talking. What do you think are the biggest takeaways that we today can really lean into?
Well, that's a big question because there's 100 chapters in 9 books. So that's 900 chapters.
What's your favorite? Come on, girl, give me something.
I will. So probably one of my favorite chapters is see the ordinary as extraordinary. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a concept that I love so much because it makes COVID, we all had to do this. We had to slow our lives down and we had to notice the smaller things to be grateful for. That a lot of times we're spending our lives and we're living for the big events of our lives, but really life is made up of small, ordinary moments day to day. And when you can slow down and just be in life and see the ordinary as extraordinary, that's really super powerful. I love just the whole concept, as we've talked about present moment living. That's in every book.
But wait, before you go into present moment living, I want to say one thing.
Okay.
I watched something where you in an interview said, and it was a dialogue that you were having with Richard, and you were talking about, you know, it's easy to pick out the negatives, like, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. And we call it in relaunch, the relaunch flip. Look at the opposite of that. Do a relaunch flip onto this. And it's in the morning when you wake up and you're doing your gratitude practice, you look for what are those positives today that you do find in him or in her or whomever. And I love that part of what you shared because we do forget. We forget these simple things. And it's so great to be reminded. So I love that. And I had to bring that back, but that was something that I had a key takeaway. So I'm going to continue to put that into my own morning routine to just really lean in. I do a lot of that, but I sometimes forget about, you know, making an actual note of those. So I'm going to do that. But now you were talking about the second one about being present.
Yeah. About present moment living. You know, this is something that when Richard was on Oprah, she told him that he taught her how to live more presently. When you can bring your attention back to the present moment, this is really where life is at its best. It's really where life is at its most joyful. And that goes for if you're in grief too. You know, oftentimes when we're grieving, if you're not aware of your thinking and your thinking patterns, you'll be thinking all the same things that are always going to make you sad. And you'll notice this if you really sit down and start to become conscious and aware of your own thinking. Well, it just doesn't mean that you can stop, like you can't undo a thought that you've already had, but you can stop going in that direction by just noticing that you're on a certain journey with your thinking. I mean, and this is what you do is you bring yourself back to the present moment. Your attention comes back through your breath, through being aware of your heart, through asking yourself, how am I feeling? What am I doing right now? Being in it, you know, this is super important. I mean, this also
they talk about fear is future, fear is past, and being present is where your intuition lies. You got to be here. I love that. Okay, so we are about to wrap. I want to make sure people know how they can hear more about you, find you, do all the amazing things that you are putting out in the world.
Well, I have 3 websites. Two are pretty simple. One is my name, christinecarlson.com. I run a retreat business and there's a couple courses on there. There's some 21 Days of Grieving with Grace with Christine. There's the What Now course and program and retreat. And I have don'tsweat.com where we have happiness training courses and everything Don't Sweat. And then I have bookdoulas.com, which is if you want to write a book and want to write one with me, that's where you go.
I love that. We need to talk more about that. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff and relaunch now. I like the idea. I'm putting it out in the universe. Excellent. And I will have all of these in the show notes. It's been such a pleasure having you here. And for those right now that are interested in getting more involved in 3HQ, we have free workshops that are happening right now so that you can start to take advantage of getting out of your head into your heart and tapping into that higher self, the best version of you. And as we go forward, and what a great couple of key takeaways we had today, which, you know, present moment, live in this present moment and see the ordinary. And it will make it extraordinary by putting all those together. I loved it. Christine, I loved having you here today. And everyone, next week, we are going to be back with another amazing show, key takeaways, relaunches that are happening in the world. And when you think about relaunch and how do you even start the process begins by hearing other people's relaunches, connecting to those, and understanding that you too can have a relaunch that is transformational around anything that's going in your life. So live now, love now, relaunch now. See you next week. You've just heard another episode of the Relaunch Podcast. If something shared in this episode resonated with you, please head over to iTunes right now and leave us a 5-star review. And share this episode with others to inspire them to take the small steps that lead to a life full of purpose and possibility. And remember, you can have immediate access to the show notes and any giveaways at therelaunchco.com/podcast. Until next week, now is your time to relaunch your transition into a transformation.